Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The net, and they are still there. then you may want to tune in and think about that, because we're talking about when it's time to get out on your own. And welcome to our Saturday host, Mama Joy, and her co-host, Reverend Rosemary. Thank you so much for being with us, ladies, and we're excited because this is a conversation that a whole lot of families need to have, especially because there are a lot of children, because of various situations, they're still at home, and they're grown. And sometimes they have their grown children or their growing children with them, so you have generational families, and many people aren't leaving because of economic reasons. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it drives everybody crazy. But sometimes people don't leave home because they're afraid. It's not easy out there, and it's so easy to end up homeless. So this should be quite a topic of conversation for those who have had that situation and are wondering how to handle it if they really wish their grown children would leave, or if they're that grown person and haven't quite put the finances together to get out of their parents' house. So you've asked some questions, you know, what was your experience when you first left home and went out on your own, and what did you experience when you decided to leave an abusive relationship and move out of it, and what did you experience after working for many years to finally retire and find that you now
now you're on your own and controlling your own time.
Yes, so now what do you do? Yeah, those changes in life, they're quite momentous, and often people are not ready for a life in which they have to make their own decisions. So Mama Joy and Minister Rosemary, take it away.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, I tell you, Block Talk Radio is not for the weak. Communication is not for small-minded people. You really have to grow to that point of asking the questions. And not only that, you have to grow to the point of being aware that there are questions that are not being answered, and the reason why we're getting the results in our life and we're not really happy about it is because, well, I take the words like of Jesus, and this is not a churchy thing, guys. It's just that I look at scripture like, hey, it's a book of what's happening. It's a book of life happenings, and if you read it from a humanity view, you'll see that what we have done is put Jesus in a box. We put God in a box. And powerful conversation is about releasing the truth and dealing with love, life and love according to the cosmic, to the world, to life in general, you know? Those are great questions. And I've actually, Reverend Minister Rosemary and I kind of got to that yesterday. I said, how can we make these things relatable and conversations relatable, not just religious? Because just think about it. What has religion got to do about a child that you raised to go on his own, and then you find out you're still raising them at 45 or 50 years old? What, you know, how do you do that? What's that? My mom, just a long story short, when you started reading this, I said, you know, I've got to try God for myself, because I'm a victim of some of these things. I know when I left home, when I was a youngster, it wasn't that I ran away. I got married. I eloped. I wanted to escape. Hello, get out of this house by any means necessary. So, you know, the big thing that at that time was how to marry a millionaire. Well, there are not too many millionaires in the ghetto.
Not making money legitimately, anyway.
And get away from your mama, right? But jumping from the pot to the fire, baby doll, is what I had. And then finally, after getting beat up and abused and running and hiding and everything, I finally realized that I had to get out on my own. And when I realized that I had left the institution of my mom and dad, went into the institution of marriage, nothing in between, no consultation with anyone, no conversation, period, about life.
Yeah.
I was told, hey, you made that bed, you got to lay in it.
Mm.
And something in me was saying, no, baby, you don't have to lay in that, but what do you do? And then that's when I, Rosemary, that's the first time I said, okay, I'm on my own. What do I do?
A whole lot of people who got out on their own, escaping, you know, trying to get away from a bad situation at home. And sometimes they grew up, you know, in dysfunctional families, abusive families, and so they, like you say, out of the frying pan into the fire, you know, run into the first arms of the first man that seems like he can rescue them, and then, well, you pay a price for that. A whole lot of people found out the hard way. But we do our children a disservice not really preparing them to leave, because sometimes we make our children dependent by not talking to them when they're, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, about how to manage a household, how to budget, how to develop a skill that you can get paid for legitimately, and how to take care of yourself, you know, how to be able to pay for your living expenses, how to, you know, figure out a grocery budget, how to, you know, get lights and gas and things in your name, your utilities. We don't talk to our children about those survival things that are part of our way of living. And then they get to be 18, they get on our nerves, or they think they're grown, and we say get out, or even maybe before then they're ready to get out. But we haven't taught them how to leave. It's like we didn't prepare them to be independent, but we want to kick them out when we're tired of them. And then for those who are trying to escape, it's like we got to figure it out because nobody explains things. No one explains some simple things like how to call the electric company and get electricity put in your name when you get to an apartment.
But, you know, that's part of the conversation that Minister Rosemary and I had last night. And all I could say is that to those statements that you made, which are very valid, I had to come to the awareness in time that I was not aware of any of these things. My mom did not discuss it to me. And so it's a perpetual thing. And one of the things that Minister Rosemary is saying, why is it that we always live in beneath our own expectations? And the conversations are something that must be done not just in the family, but as in the community. Even the church is silent on that. Do you realize women are becoming young ladies, girls are becoming young ladies, and they don't even discuss the menstrual cycle in places where, not if they're going to Sunday school, they say, well, that's for the mama to teach. Well, what happened when mama never got it?
Yes, and you have a lot of mothers that just assume somehow their daughter would figure it out, and, you know, no one explains to you how to keep yourself clean and sanitary. Nobody even explains that your body is going to be expelling blood because your body is preparing for a baby to be there, and if there's no egg that is fertilized, then the lining in your uterus, which would have been after birth, is going to shed. No one explains that to you. We expect the school to do it. We expect health class to do it. And these days, because of hormones in the meat and the vegetables even, you know, you have genetically modified foods that are causing young girls to have a menstrual cycle much earlier. So if at 10 years old something happens that we expect it to happen at like 13, well, that 10-year-old's not prepared, and she's wondering if she believed at that. And nobody talks about it because her school wasn't prepared at fourth grade to talk about it. So, you know, this is what's happening. We have people who are being thrown into adulthood like you throw a person into the deep end of the pool and, you know, they can't swim. And you say, well, figure it out.
That's exactly right. And so and the more that you're chiming in, I want Minister Rose to chime in on it, because these, we can only get better. I said, hey, look, we're going to just jump in this water and do what we need to do, because right now I am so geeked up about, hey, we got to stop burying these children wholesale. We got to stop seeing our communities go down, not realizing that it's because of these conversations we're not having. We're not preparing our future, our children, or our families for survival. And it's part of you have not because you ask not. And if you don't ask, you won't get it. So we're out here looking for a great life, doing the same things that our parents did. And what is all that about, Minister Rose? You want to chime in on that?
I'm trying to find a way to get in there. I'm between the real talkers here this morning. Anyway, my question is, when is the first time you realized you were on your own? Well, I thought about the first time I was on my own. You know, it's not easy. It's kind of scary. Although a person may be even up to the age of 25, it's scary when you're on your own. Like you were saying earlier, you know, you may not know a lot of things because you're at home with your mom and dad, and things are being taken care of, that those little things are being taken care of that you're not even aware of. But anyway, the first time I realized I was on my own, I was 18 years old, and I was married but separated. My mom had just made her transition. And I had a four-month-old son, and I remember sitting on the bench in front of the apartment building my husband and I shared, because I had to go back because I had left him because I didn't want to be there anymore. Remember, I'm only 18 years old, hadn't graduated from high school. Matter of fact, when my class was graduating, I was probably giving birth or getting ready to give birth to my son. And so there I am, I'm sitting there, and I actually realized that I was on my own. You know, like, okay, I have no job, I have no high school education, my mom is gone. My brothers and sisters were not much older than me, and they had their own responsibilities, right? And it was kind of a revelation that I've got to do something, right? And to make it even worse, we were being evicted. I'm 18. I'm no, you know, like I had no place to go. And we were being evicted. And so I wrote my dad a letter, whom I hadn't seen since I was 3 years old. So I wrote a letter asking that if he would help me to pay the rent, or like 3 months rent, I think, behind.
Wow.
I never got an answer from him. And that
so
was,
I guess that was
know,
a no.
So that was probably a no. So it was real, it's scary to realize that you're on your own. But, you know, my mom had put so much in us that although it was scary, I didn't let that fear overtake me, because when I was at home with my mother, I took care of the bills. She had me to pay the bills. So I did know how to write the bills, you know, to take care of the bills. And I did the shopping, you know, go do the grocery shopping. So I did know that. And I did know how to take care of a baby because my siblings had children. I would just take care of them because I really loved doing that. But anyway, what I want to say, it's really scary. It's scary. So we have to be compassionate with our kids when they're going out on their own. And, you know, so we have to just kind of understand that our future is not based on what we've been. What we have been, that is, or what we've done, but our future is based on who we are becoming, who we are now being, and who we are becoming. So in Powerful Conversation, it provides, this is what we do here, we provide the necessary tools that will make a huge difference in what lies ahead in your life, and there are consequences attached to those choices. You know, we make choices and we might say something like, well,
you know, I wouldn't have done this if so-and-so hadn't encouraged me or done that. But, you know, ultimately, the decision is yours. So you really can't blame nobody else for your decisions. And so it's really important for us to learn how to think, how to realize that we are really, that we have all this power within us, and it's a great responsibility, and yet it's a great privilege. Because you know what? This is not dress rehearsal. This is showtime, and when the curtain drops, it's over. We are older than we've ever been and younger than we'll ever be. So this is a brand new day. So it's your choice. Your life is your choice. Okay, so these are some things that I hope I didn't stray too far.
No, you know, one of the things that I had to learn and listening to you, and I was thinking about it when I heard Naima as well, is that what I had to learn, even in my ignorance and all that I went through, and blaming people and blaming my mom and for they didn't what they should have done, what she couldn't do, what she didn't know, and then I had to learn how to stop feeling guilty.
Okay.
Because I found that once I learned better, that I realized that I had raised my children in a less than stellar way than I thought, because of my shame and so many things, I could not have the conversations that I would have wanted to have with them.
I think shame is a thing that a lot of people have because shame is taught. And unless you unlearn the shame, then you can't do anything but repeat the same mistakes that our parents made. When I was first on my, really realizing I was on my own, because I went away to college, but, you know, when you're in the dormitory, it's not really the same thing because it's very a protected environment. But I think it was the first summer that I stayed out of town because I went to school at the University of Nebraska, which was, I wanted to get far away where I felt independent from my family.
You thought.
I thought, yes. But I came home that first summer, so I still was, you know, living at home. And then the second summer is when I stayed there and got an apartment. And that was when, you know, and I roomed in with a roommate. Or did I have a roommate that year? I think I had a roommate that year. Yeah, I did. And, you know, of course, that meant we had to work and pay our bills and everything. And so that was the real independence. It's like, okay, you are on your own. There's nobody checking up on you. It's summertime, so, you know, you're working. It's not really a school year thing. So that means you are a working person paying your bills on your own in an apartment. And, you know, there are rules and regulations, but there's also nobody watching you. So if you have wild parties, that's on you. You know, whatever you, if you invite unsavory characters, that's on you. So, I mean, all these things. And once you're on your own, that's when you really know what your values are. There's nobody to keep you from hanging out, from doing drugs, from getting high, from being drunk, from sleeping around. There's nobody to tell you not to do these things. So you're going to do whatever is in your own heart in terms of your own values, because there's nobody that's looking over you. And that's when you really know who you are and who you're not. So, you know, I had a chance to observe, you know, whatever I would have done with freedom, which I'm grateful I didn't make any major errors, but I made errors enough to know, okay, well, now that's not something that I should do. That's not smart, you know, or this person is not somebody I should be hanging with. You know, they've been in and out of prison. That's not smart. I mean, you know, you just, you learn these things.
But some of us don't. And you know, to a point made, what you're saying is that I've had experience of women who were teachers, who were counselors, who were, ministers, women, grown women who were chief, and they will go to the prison to seek a husband.
Oh, that's another whole thing. I mean, when I was in college, we had a pen pal program where we actually went and visited the prisoners, and there was several of the young ladies who ended up in relationships with these people who were doing, 10 years, 20 years, but, that's, you're right. They were looking for a man, and they found a man.
Again, conversations, and I think it's vital that we have these kind of platforms or opportunities to minimize the fear of discussing these things which we fear. And many times we're not even aware that we are fearful about certain things until we have conversations.
Yeah.
Until we have conversations. And that's a concern that I have. But I'm happy that we are doing that. And while I'm talking too, I'm trying to get my Facebook going on so I can connect my people.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I was coming in. I said, okay, now we're going to do this. Because we talk a lot. Someone was saying today, there's a lot of information all around us, but there's very little context. We've got a lot of communication, a lot of conversation going on, but what is the context that we're speaking in? And one of the things I recognize that after I retired, I was happy. I start staying in the bed. Well, I can stay in the bed now. I can relax. But then after a while, I got tired of the bed. And I realized that there's more life. And then something happened to me. And I realized that I was on the first time on my own in retirement. And all of my life, I have been in a context of job and working. The relationships I had were on the job relationships. Hello, they were in the context of another world. But you know what? I was always serving and doing. But I had never been in my life a situation to set my own schedule.
Wow. And that's something, too, when it's like we've been conditioned to be working for someone our whole lives. And then now when that time is over, okay, what do I do with myself?
What do I do with – I was an X factor.
And it's so important prior to retirement, maybe up to 5 years or more before retirement, is to decide what it is you want to do after retirement. Because, in the workplace, it takes up so much of our time, like 2 hours before you start work, 8 hours there, and an hour or so to get home. That's most of your day. And then after you prepare food or your kids or whatever, time to go to bed and start it all over again. So you haven't really given any concern to what's going to happen after retirement. Okay, like Mama Joy, like you just said, okay, now you're retired. And what are you going to do with these extra 10 hours of the day? You find yourself becoming really bored. And so I suggest when I would do powerful conversations, before retiring, decide what it is you want to do. So I'll just say what I did before I retired. I went to Johnny Coleman Institute and started, I went through the teaching program, which is a 2-year program. So I went through that program to become a JCI teacher, which really helped a lot, okay? And then after that, I went into the ministerial program, which was 3 years. So when I retired, I had my teaching license, but I hadn't completed my ministerial license.
Mm-hmm.
And even after I finished all of that, it was still a question of now what, because I realized I was busy doing a lot of things that I really enjoyed doing, but is this really the zenith or the utopia of what I want to do? Because retirement doesn't mean to go back to work. It means now is the time your kids are gone, and hopefully. And now you, if you're married, now's the time for you and your husband to get reacquainted and just have fun. So then I found myself really, really busy, but still, you know, we want to get something ready before retiring, because you don't want to get bored, you don't want to get lazy, out of shape, and you know what I'm saying. So
sitting around waiting to die, because that, and if you don't have a plan, that's kind of what it ends up being.
Please. Waiting to die. One day is just like the next day. You know, you got to do some. Get excited about your life.
Well, I tell you, I had to experience, you're speaking about Johnny Coleman, I had to go there, we were having a class, and it was about growth and the need for us to take advantage of our life, because if we don't do that, then something else takes place mm-hmm. in our life. And I told her, I said, yeah, I said, you know, I noticed that if you leave trash down, the next day you go to the next day and you'll see more trash. And in my house, I learned that clutter grows. If you don't take care of your time, you don't place some order in your house, you put something down, if you don't move it, then the next thing you know, you're going to put something else there.
Yeah.
And chaos comes, and I noticed one thing, ladies, is that when I started in the house, talking about getting out of shape, when I was at home, my house was getting out of shape.
Ooh.
I think that something is missing in our total awareness of life, and that is a word of agreeing to maintain life, having a life style or whatever. We're responsible for our life.
Yeah, having a purpose for our life. Sometimes that's what's missing. You can work 40 years at a company, but it's not your vision. It's what you do to pay your bills. So if, when mm-hmm. that's over with, if you didn't have a greater vision of why you're here, you can start feeling really empty, like, why am I here? But we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get a chance to explore that. Do you have a purpose? Do you have a vision? Do you have some things you want to achieve? Did you suppress your dreams for the practicality?
Well, you know, nobody told us about that.
Nobody
so that's what we're doing now. Get a bigger purpose in life.
There you go. Well, we'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be
back in
just a moment, so stay with us.
Stay with us. Don't forget to have them call us in by 515-605-9325. Call in.
I think there's somebody on the switchboard. Yeah, 515-605-9325. Mm-hmm. Press 1 and you're ready to speak. We'll open your mic and get your contribution to this conversation. We'll be right back. So stay with us.
Stay.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie
Wilson. Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Paid for.
Higher Learning Network. Yeah.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
From Chicago, but I was called electric. I wasn't planning on speaking.
Oh, well, see, divine intervention. Let us know that there was something you had to say because your line lit up. So,
well, you know, my line was lit up. I didn't press one. But anyway, let's just go with divine intervention because I'm cleaning up the house. I said, oh, I'll listen to Joy and Naima and here. But anyway, let me get to the point of the conversation. It's interesting. That's a deep conversation. You know, my mom was hooked on drugs. I was in from foster care to foster care to my sister's house to my husband. And I never really lived alone. So I tell you the one thing, though, not being prepared, I think, is a disservice to children. And let me tell you why. When I moved in with my husband, he said, you don't know how to do a bank account? I never had a bank account. No. He said, you don't know nothing about, no, I didn't know nothing about nothing. Because I went from foster care to my sister's house. And so not being prepared, not having a relationship with money, I just messed up the bills. He'd be like, did you pay the light bill? No, I bought some shoes. Did you pay the rent? No, I went and did this. And we got put out. And I had a lot of lessons to learn because nobody taught me the value of budgeting or creating a spending pattern. And so moving out on my own was a big lesson. Well, I won't say on my own because I moved right in with my husband, but he trusted that I guess I could do what I didn't know what to do. And then he had to sit down with me and teach me bank accounting and things that I just didn't know. So I think one of the things we should talk about is how are we preparing our children to move out, on whether they move in with a spouse or move out in their own space, because I was not prepared at all. not prepared. I didn't have a relationship with money. My money was stowed in my purse. I put my money in, when I did have a bank account, I put it in there, and I'm like, well, I have $5,000. What happened? And I spent it and didn't sit and say, okay, you spend $100 minus this. You know, I didn't do any of the things that you need to do to perform life on a great term.
Yeah. And how many of us have $500 in the bank? We go to the store and we spend $150, and then we go to the store and we spend another $30, we go to the store and we spend $75, and each time we think, I got $500 in the bank. And then, you know, we look up and get these notes from the bank saying we're overdrawn. I'm like, what the hell did happen? I had $500 in the bank. Yeah, but you got to subtract. How many of us have done that? Come on.
I didn't know how to subtract. I didn't know subtraction too well. I only knew addition.
Stay out of my business, okay? Y'all stay out of my business.
One way of preparing our kids for to be an adult is to teach them responsibility at home, like make sure they keep their room clean and give them some responsibilities, like even an allowance, and let them understand that this is it for the week and you have to, you know, make it last. And that's teaching them about money and just teaching them. I've always told my kids, you know, you're not raising children, you're raising adults. You're raising children to be adults, so teach them to be responsible for the little things so when they get out they can handle things. So thank God for your husband and his patience, you know. That was a good thing.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, because Minister Rosemary, you said that, you know, your family had you actually doing the bills. And I think my family was kind of like, well, this is grown folks' business. Okay, well, at what point am I going to be grown up for it to be my business? So, I mean, do you think that when the bills come in that parents should be showing their children, okay, this is how much the light bill is. This is how much the gas bill is. This is how much the phone bill is. Well, now everybody's got their own personal cell phone, but usually if you're a teenager, you ain't paying the bill. Your parents are paying your cell phone bill.
Well, back in the day when I was growing up, my mother didn't really have a checking account, but she would write I would take the, okay, she would give me the money, and she would write what to go to the currency exchange,
mm-hmm.
you know, to pay these bills.
Yeah.
So I would take the money and go to the currency exchange, and so much you have to write on that thing as well, mm-hmm. and I would pay the bills. So that was really preparing me. I don't know if she knew she was preparing me, but, you know, that was like, hey, it's a bunch of us. Somebody got to help take on this responsibility at home. So that was preparing me for knowing, for not just going to the currency exchange and doing that, but it was also preparing me to see that how far that check could go, you know.
And,
yeah. So, I like to speak to that.
Right now, honey, I can hold a dollar to the eagle fly.
a lot of children didn't have any idea of how much it cost to live. So Janine, what was your experience like when you were growing up? Being in foster care, it's kind of like each household is different. So
every household was different. Every household was different, and every energy was different when it came to money. Some households felt like, oh, it's not enough, and you can't ask me. So you grow up with these energetic experiences and relationships with money. And what I love about my experience, even though it wasn't the best, is that it gave me the trajectory to teach my children different, not just get money to pay bills, but the first thing you do is you pay yourself. Put 10% away for your bills. So I literally sat and showed them my check, how much bills we had. But no matter how many bills, you put yourself something first, because we teach money how to treat us by building a relationship with it. And so a lot of times, the only thing I knew about money was you get money to pay bills. You pay the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. Never until I read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon, that you should say the first 10% of everything you make should go to you, and you should save it. And then once I learned how to save it, then what do I do with it? Invest it. And I think those are the kind of things we need to, well, I did. Started to teach my children, and today my daughter owns 5 properties. She still put 10% away from her. My other daughter is putting her money away and investing in stocks. She does stock investments with her savings, and my other daughter does different types of investments. They understand that not just earn money with your physical presence, but we have to learn how to make money with our money. And so that's the thing I think that needs to be different in my household. That's me not knowing anything about money gave me an opportunity to start studying it, but then teach my children differently. So I'll give you an example. When my daughter came home from college, we had a plan. I said, you stay here 5 years. She got a job working for the city making $125,000. I said, look, if you use $25,000 of that money and save the other, say, $75,000, that is 5 years. She saved her money up. She bought her first property with cash.
Wow.
On 68th and Craigie. She bought her second condo with cash. And then she bought her third property and fourth property. But, you know, she was able to move out of here and have and not get in the rat race. And I think that's the difference about when we teach our children about money and having a relationship with money. You know, we got to circulate to percolate it, but we got to know how to circulate it in the right direction. And so I was grateful as I began to journey through money that I began to have a relationship with it and learn how to save it, invest it, and have fun with it and pay my bills with it. And we wasn't ready. My husband wasn't coming home and we were getting ready to put out. I thought you paid the boys. No, I went shopping. But I was, you know, when my husband and I got together, I was 19. So I was immature about money and didn't know anything about money.
Yeah, I think that happens too when people marry early. So Mama Joy, you married early. You mentioned you were like, you know, trying to run out of the house and get married to,
do
you have any household management skills?
No, not at that time.
She was like me.
I want to thank Janine for those comments, though, and because in spite of her upbringing, she managed to work on herself and to come up with that kind of that. To me, that's commendable, and that's really special because that's not happening in many places, you know. I've got a couple more callers on there, and I want to thank her because she really is an outstanding young woman. She's still very young, but and she sacrifices. But I want to thank you for chiming in.
See, that was by divine design. She didn't mean to say something, but she needed to say that. That's right. We need to hear that. Thanks so much.
We needed to hear it because I'm looking at it and saying, my God, the girl saved up a house. But wait, now, she was with her mom.
Yeah.
She was with them, and she saved her mother. See, that's another thing. When you're in the house with wisdom and purpose,
okay.
And Janine is a mother. She had powerful conversations. She had powerful conversations, okay? Because she was born in a situation, as she said, her mother was in drugs, whatever. And but she made a decision in her life that she was not going to live the life of that experience. Rosemary, you know, that living less than what she was. No, she had a bigger picture, a bigger mind, and she took on that challenge. And I've got
but you know, I want to just add, I'm just going to say, then I'm going to be quiet. But it was being exposure to reading books, opening my mind to reading books. And I was working for CHA. I was an executive director, and one of my landlords had gotten in a car accident, so I went to Barrington to go see him, and his family was celebrating him because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was talking to his father. His father had just moved here years ago from Greek and learned how to speak English. And he told me he don't let any of his children move out of the house until they have a certain amount saved up and they can purchase their first property. Other than that, they stay. And I was like, wow, I'm going to do the same thing. So it was his wisdom. His name was Peter. Well, his name is Peter. Peter Gervillis, who told me that. And I sat down with my children and gave them a 5-year plan when they got out of college to show them how not to get in the rat race so that we could live. And then we played a game called cash flow. And I learned a lot out of that game about cash flow. I learned a lot about how I take risks and don't look at my liabilities and assets. I was just playing. But what that game taught me is sit down and see where I'm at, how much assets do I have, how many liabilities, and learn how to take an asset to buy a liability. So I learned a lot from books, cash flow game, people, things, and exposing myself around. And I'm still learning. Okay, I'm complete. I know y'all got other callers. I love this conversation. I'm going to go back on mute. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you for closing that with that because we had an earlier conversation with saying diversity. That's why we need to involve ourselves with other diverse groups and learn this kind of wisdom because people come from other countries and we want to know how they come here and they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That is very good. Our mass caller, 2261. You want to take that on now, 2261? You have a comment? Tell us who you are and where you are and how you are here. Hello? Is that 891-2261?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about it. I was on this line. I didn't even realize it. I was when you said.
Oh, okay. Now whose phone was that?
All right. Okay. But I didn't want to say anything either. I would just want to listen. However, it's a very good conversation. And I thank God for it because you made me look back over my past and see where I come from. Because I thought I had an excellent life until I became up until I was 5.5 years old when my father killed my mother. And then I was from aunt to aunt, from house to house. And I just didn't even realize what life was all about because my daddy's side of the people didn't like me because of my mother. My mother's side of the people didn't like me because of my daddy. So anyway, but God took care of me, and I praise the Lord for that because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, honey, I wouldn't be here today. Well, trust me, I wouldn't be. I went to school. I wasn't the best in school as far as my grades, but I made some different types of grades. Just a minute. Okay. And either way it go, I made it through school, and I got to the 10th grade, and I was on a prep score. This is crazy, but I did it. And but I needed some shoes. You know, I quit school in the 10th grade because I didn't have any shoes.
Wow.
And so it was just laid on my heart, and one day I was walking down the street. And my principal saw me, and he said, "Young lady, why are you not in school?" And I was so bored with it. Oh, this is my daughter calling me. I have to call you back. I'm on a conference call. And I was bored with it. I said, "I quit school." And he said, "You quit school?" He said, "I didn't know nothing about it." I said, "Well, yeah, I quit school." But anyway, he asked me, "Why did I quit?" And I finally told him I didn't have any shoes and I didn't want to go to school. So he sent my, this girl is calling me. I'm so sorry, you all. This is
it might
my
be important.
Phone.
Why don't you take that and we'll come back to you. As a matter of fact, I didn't get her name because I wanted to put her name on the screen.
Hold on 1 second. I could call you back later. I want to finish that because
my daughter calls. I always have to tell you because you never know, you know, if they're in trouble or need something, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, the next day he sent my algebra teacher and my English teacher to my house. And it's good. I'm still at home. And they asked me, they talked to me and everything, and they took me, at that particular time, they had a store named 2 for $5, shoe store. And they carried me, and they bought me 2 pairs of shoes. I was the happiest person in the world. I went back to school.
Wow.
And I said that to say that God blessed me where I finished school with no help but from the Lord. I was able to go to college and work. I started out in a car wash and from there to the government. And Lord bless me. But it helped me to be a better parent for my children because I knew how to bring them up from what I had gone through with. And mind you, I spoiled them terribly, but that's how it worked out. And God has truly, truly blessed me to have some good children. And he made a way for me, whereas I made up my mind I was going to school. I wanted to be an attorney. But the Lord told me, he said, "No, that's not it." I was in Howard University. My Lord blessed me to work my way up there with no relative to help me, but God blessed me with a decent job. And while I was at Howard University, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Preach my word." And I came from a hardshell Baptist church who truly, truly did not believe in women preachers.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't either because that's what I had been taught. But anyway, the Lord continued to work with me, and I made up my mind to follow the Lord. And when I went to my pastor and told him that God had called me to preach, he put me out of church.
Oh.
So, yes, that happened to me. But anyway, I gave up school and I gave up everything, and I became a minister for the Lord, teaching his word, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. I pastored for almost 30 years until my husband got sick and I had to go home and take care of him, and now he's deceased. But because of that, I'm well blessed. All I can say, I am well blessed. And I thank God for you all listening to me, and that's it. So I'm going back on mute.
Well, before you go, tell us your name again.
Bessie Tucker. I'm a dear friend and a mentor, Reverend Mama Joy. And that's how I got on the line. But I really wasn't intending to say anything. I just wanted to listen.
Well, you have given us a whole lot of things about you. You're from here in Chicago?
I'm right here in Chicago, yes. Thank you.
We appreciate your wisdom. I just got one question, because you said something, you kind of just blew over it like it was, nothing. But it sounded like you had a major family trauma that happened. And, and then next thing you know, you don't have shoes for school. I mean, who stepped in after that happened? You had just, major family trauma. I'm sorry, what was the name again? I actually erased it.
Bessie
Tucker, yes. Sister Tucker, I mean, people don't just bounce back from, family violence and go on and live. I am just amazed that you were able to do that. And somehow just, be the strong woman that you are. Who was it that stepped in after this tragedy happened? You said no relatives.
Believe it or not.
Was it?
No. Different ones did. The Lord fixed it. And I'm serious about this, you all. Different ones helped me. The different ones stepped in to help me out somewhat. But at the age of 16, I told you I was working for a car wash. And then after I graduated from high school, I got a job with the government. And that really helped me on my feet, and that's how I got all my college education, no grants, no nothing. I paid for it by myself, all because of God. And I have no regrets whatsoever as the life that I have come through. You know why? Because I'm able to help so many other young ladies. And I'm a counselor, and I'm able to do that. And God has blessed me, and I know he brought me through this in order for me to be a blessing to other people.
Yeah.
So I have no regrets about it. No, it was a trauma, and at that time, I couldn't understand it myself. I didn't realize how poor or how bad a shape I was in until after I got grown. And I married when I was very young. Matter of fact, I married when I was still in high school.
Oh, wow.
And he went off to the Navy. He wanted to marry me before he went in. And we got married. And after that, and I'm not a hussy either, but I've been married 4 times, but I'm a widow 3 times. Okay. I'm a widow 3 times, and I have 3 beautiful grown daughters, and I have 1 son, which I adopted through my husband before he deceased. It was his grandson. And when we went to court to adopt him, the judge said that we couldn't say grandparents. We had to say parents. And that's how I got a son. So God has blessed me richly. I have no regrets, and I don't mind telling my story anywhere. I started writing a book, and my computer crashed on me, and after that I just lost interest. However, I'm getting back into it now, and I'm thanking God for it. But truly, I'm blessed.
Yeah, and you're thanking the right one, because John 10:10 says, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly.
More abundantly.
And it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So when we can let go and let God move in and through our lives, and that's where the power comes from. We are more powerful than we could ever believe, than we ever know, if we could just align our thoughts with the thoughts of Christ, okay? So,
yes.
You know,
but I did tell you, I don't know if I mentioned it to you all or not, but after the Lord called me into the ministry, God blessed me to start pastoring, and I pastored for 29 and a half years, okay? Yes. And as I stated, after my husband got sick, I knew my place was by his side. So I gave up everything. I gave up my job. I gave up everything and went home and take care of him. And because I've been obedient to the Lord, I'm not, we didn't have anything, but I'm not suffering. Okay, God has blessed me. So I'm through talking, y'all. I want to hear somebody else's story.
Thank you so much, Miss Bessie.
That's a powerful story. We thank you for that, Bessie. Thank you so much
God bless
for sharing.
You.
Wow. God bless.
And we can see God in all the things that you were saying. We can see the Christ moving in and through your life all the time. Okay? That's the power. That's the power. You know, you know, when we were enslaved, we didn't speak the language, we didn't know anything about the culture, and look, we have say how powerful we are as a black, as a people, how we came out of that. And so the thing I'm saying is we should not feel victims of that. We need to feel that we are victorious because God brought us through all of that. He gave us ideas on how to move through, how to maneuver ourselves in the night, and how they put directions on quilts. They would put quilts over the fences, and the quilts had information to go north, south, or not to go this way. The way the quilts were made, it didn't say it, but it had that. We knew north and south. We knew the North Star. We knew the sun rose in the east and set in the west. No, that was no schooling. That was intuition. That was the Christ moving in and through us.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the realm of divine ideas that God works through our mind, okay? That's how we communicate with the Father, is through our mind. When we pray, when we're talking to God, we're talking to him through our mind. We're talking to Spirit through our mind, okay? So it is so very important to know that as a man thinks in his heart. So,
absolutely,
I really like your testimony, Bessie.
Oh, that
it's
was powerful.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We got to take another quick break, but that what you said, I mean, that really touched my heart. And you know about the quilts. I just found out that also our hair braiding pattern, we use that as roadmaps. Help show you escape from freedom. You know, the cornrows, you have the designs in the head, and there are certain patterns, like, you know, waves might mean a river, and,
uh-huh.
I mean, mounds on your head might mean, you know, mountains. I mean, who would think a woman's hairstyle was a roadmap?
I want to look to see about getting that, because Janine, Minister Janine, Reverend Janine introduced me to that roadmap, and we had some examples of that. So maybe during the commercial, I'll try to find some of them on YouTube and share with us. Yeah, that's right. The roadmap in our hair.
And our
expression, the songs that we sang.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That was giving messages to other people, like... what was that song?
Sweet chariot.
It's time to go. You know,
that's right.
Time to, you know, we're leaving tomorrow night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, we are such a brilliant people. never put yourself down. Never, never, never. We are so brilliant. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
We're going to be right back, you all. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. Call us, 515-605-9325, and press 1. You're listening to and watching The Neighborship of Joy with Mama Joy and her fantastic co-host, Reverend Minister Rosemary. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Yes, yes.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Joy and powerful conversation.
Minister Rosemary Bookstein. We're just so happy to have you all joining us today, inviting you to our conversation of what was your experience when you left home and went out on your own. And we have had some stories told today. And our last caller, that was, it was amazing, because we all have, it's not just when you leave home, but what how does it feel when you leave out of a situation and go out on your own? You know, Bessie's decision was, she made a decision to stop going to school because she didn't have shoes. Yeah. How did that feel? The fact that she was willing to give up her education because she didn't have shoes. Oh, I don't know. I can't get that together. But that's a painful experience. But she made a decision. But because she went out, someone observed her. And people came to her knees. Huh? But then it didn't stop there. You know, it didn't stop there. When Minister Rosemary and I were talking about when we left home, what was your first experience, the first time? But then we can see that the first time of leaving anything is an experience. But we don't let it define us. She didn't let her mother's death by her father.
Yeah, that's, you know, that could be a thing
dramatic.
That could destroy you for the rest of your life if you are not able to find some kind of emotional support from somewhere. Thank God for the people who stepped in, her teachers who stepped in. Because, you know, sometimes when you're in high school, you're like right on the edge between adulthood and being a minor. Say, like, you know, 16, 17, 18, and you're not young enough quite to be in the DCFS system, but you're not really old enough to be on your own, and yet sometimes you get thrust into that situation where you are on your own. There are a lot of homeless teenagers out there. And, you know, even if their parents go into a shelter, they don't allow teenagers. So what do? You have to live on the street. It's a lot of young people. They're technically on their own because they're living on the street. There's no support system for them because they're not connected to any agency. And they just got to survive the best way they can. And that's, unfortunately, very common for teenagers that are maybe at that crossroads of 17, 18, you know, too old to be a child, but not quite adult enough to have all the information they need to really be able to take care of themselves.
Well, you know, I had the experience of a young man. He was telling me the story. I had a long ride with him. And he said to me, I'm going to my friend's house. Really? I said, mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's nice. I said, but you're going to quite a distance. He said, well, he's done a lot for me. And so as we were riding, he eventually shared the conversation that his mother and father were taken out of the house. They went to drugs on drugs, and they didn't comatose, but they were out. And the police came and took the mom and dad, but left him and his sister at the house.
Wow.
And he said, I feared, and I took my sister, and we ran away because I had heard about what they would do to the children. Mm. He said, and so they lived in hallways and lived in whatever. Mm. He said, ma'am, he said, let me tell you. He said, you don't know it, but there's a place here in Chicago where all the children are.
Yes, yes.
And they are in hiding.
Yes.
Oh. And he said, and we teach each other. And I'm driving. I think I know so much. But there's so many, and as you're speaking, Minister Rosemary, it lets us know that survival mechanism is very real. Mm-hmm. And ideas will come to you.
Yeah.
And if you follow through with these ideas, that's the way the spirit moves. And he said, he taught me how to do my math, how to read. He said, and then I was able to take a test and get into high school.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm so happy. happy about this conversation because not only are we dealing with a conversation with other people, but also approaching us, embracing the conversations that we have with ourselves.
Yes.
First, what kind of conversations are we having with ourselves? And then moving on to experience that life outside of ourselves in another
yes.
kind of conversation.
Right. Yes. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so we know we have
press 1.
To say.
Okay. We have did you want to have something to say, Ms. Rosemary, before? I see Janine is raising her hand up again.
Okay. I just want to – well, we can go in and talk to the person on the phone. I can talk to
Janine, you wanted to answer the conversation here?
Yes.
Janine is back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Well, it's so many things that I – hello? So many things
yeah.
that came to my mind when with this conversation because I love it. One, because, you know, in Illinois, you know, a child becomes emancipated at 18, so you can't live in foster care and under the resources of the government. So you're just thrown out there. Did you know that?
I had heard that. Yeah, at a certain age,
yes.
they
emancipate you out. Yes.
Yeah.
And you age out the system, and there's nothing else for you in terms of resources. So you got to figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm. Like being thrown out on
the that's the place, yes, and that's where we. That's where our young people really, really need support. But the other thing I wanted to say, listening to the conversation, no matter, you know, I just love this conversation because no matter how we look at it, the Creator's hand is always in it. I heard you say the teacher. I heard
yeah.
somebody say the teacher showed up for them. Or we was in this house and somebody taught me how to read. Somebody's always there. The messenger is always there waiting, and God is always there with the protection if we tuned in to the process.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say, no matter what we see in the hearing. God, you know, I think about a baby. You know how little babies, when they toddling around and they moving around and you running, catching them so they don't fall, and they oblivious to anything that's about to happen because you're catching them. And I feel that's how the universe, the Most High, the Creator, Allah, God is just always there to say, hey, I got you every time we fall,
yeah.
if we in tune to it. And so I just heard that in the lady with the no shoes and the teachers finding out and just all the conversation, just seeing God around it. And I just want to give
yeah,
give thanks to the Most High for just always being there to support us, to show up for
having
us.
Having the faith to just step out there and try. To do it. You know what I'm saying? I guess Nike wasn't the original.
But
thing.
Even
just
if you
do
don't
it.
Even have the faith, what if you've been pushed out there to do it and you still got
yeah,
that protection? You've been pushed. Like, I didn't quit my job. I was laid off. And then I didn't have nowhere to pay my bills. But Spirit said, you get up every morning saying God is the source of your unlimited supply. So you thought that job was your source? Or do you think I'm your source? I had to get right. God had to check me. Because I was still believing in hard work, consciousness, and God said, I'll give you a house you didn't build, and I'll give you land you didn't talk. God, well, how do you do that? How do you get a house you didn't build? Because I've been taught, you don't eat work, you don't eat.
Mm.
So I had
That's
to change
right.
my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But,
there
okay,
you know.
I just love this conversation. You know. I'm cleaning up and listening to you all. This is powerful. And I just want to say thank you, Rosemary and Joanne Naima, for this beautiful opportunity to listen and to hear great wisdom and great conversation. I just love it. Energy here. And you all are doing a phenomenal job. I just love women of wisdom. And that's what I feel here coming from you all, of the wisdom of God showing up through you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
You said that God is the source of our supply, and that is a true statement. So what happens? What happens when that's not appearing in our lives? Because God is the source of our supply. Okay. So why are we suffering? Why do we suffer? So I want to tell you the primary cause of suffering is that we have forgotten that God is the source of our supply. That we are spiritual beings, okay? We have forgotten that our inheritance is the same.
Come on.
Okay?
Come
on.
We have forgotten that. So when we align our thoughts back to the mind of Christ, then that all comes back to us. We say, what do you mean we've forgotten? I never knew it. Oh, no, you knew it because it came, it's in the package, it's in your DNA, so you know it. Okay?
Yes.
God is a
yes,
sorcerer.
Yes.
And we've forgotten that it is not God's will for us to suffer. Suffering does not turn us to God. Our desire to be free from suffering is what turns us to God. So God's hand is in everything, even in the suffering. God's hand is there to turn us to God, okay? Even when we make a left, we should have made a right.
Come on.
God's hand is there to make a, okay, detour.
To turn the right.
So there's a muddy road ahead. Move on the other way, okay?
So. Oh, I love that, the money road ahead. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? You know what I learned through that journey of, you know, because you get veiled or conditioning into suffering and poverty consciousness and all that. And learning to shift my poverty consciousness back into my wealth consciousness was not just in my brain, though. It was learning how to move the energy because life is vibrational. Life is energy and life is about frequency. And when I saw my frequency go down, I had to learn how to move my vibration back into the frequency of God or love or into the things that knowing who's and what I am. And that was the work that I had to do to become who I am today. Is learning how to shift the frequency, not just what I was thinking, but what was I feeling. You know, they say what you think about is what you bring about. Well, what you feel about is what you bring about as well. Because the vibration is what the language of God
is. All right now.
Yeah, we got some comments here.
We got another.
Okay, I'm about to go on mute.
You are blessed, sisters. Well, thank you, Sharon. We appreciate that. And Diana says, greetings, beautiful sis stars. Yes,
woo!
Thank you, Diana. Yes.
Got another caller here, 6892. Hey, you know, this is rolling right well. I just love this.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. I tell you, the sisters, I like that too. Okay, 6892, can you share with us your experience when you left home for the first time and went out on your own? And we're finding out this morning that there are many first-time experiences on your own, but it's not just a home, but through many, just moving out of one situation to another. Can we hear from you? 6892. Tell us where you're from.
Yeah. How are you doing? I'm calling from San Diego.
It's my little niece.
Right.
I'm calling from San Diego, California, by way of New Orleans. But I just want to say that the topic today is right on point. Leaving home or what we consider to be home at any point in your life is quite a transition. I had to leave my home, the place that I call home, just recently within the last year.
I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Behind. My name is Dion. I'm Joy's niece, Mama Joy's niece.
From New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the lesson is what I found to be something that you learn from. There are lessons in everything. You know, what did you learn from that experience? And how is that going to help you moving forward? They didn't ask to be in that situation. They didn't ask to be in the situation. But the object is to just keep moving forward. And yes, you do cling to Almighty God, and perhaps that was his way of bringing you back. Full circle. You can never lose sight of who's in charge, who is the creator of heaven and earth and all in between, who created you from nothing. That is where the focus has to constantly be, constantly to check yourself. Check yourself And if you have time to just reflect, you will see that those lessons learned are preparing you for something bigger, something better. So I'm just here as a supporter of your dialogue and your platform here. And Mama Joy, you know I love you.
Love you too, baby doll. Love you too.
Thank you, Dion.
Thank you for responding.
Now listen, let me tell you something. We serve a big God, okay? We serve big God. So let us embrace that. And we should be filled with gladness regardless to the circumstances or situations. Let us realize that we serve a big God. But what you want to ask yourself, what am I doing? What is your spiritual practices? What do you do to keep yourself centered, to take care of yourself? That's what we have to ask ourselves. I know sometimes we get really down, realize that that's not God. God is not doing that to us. God is good. He's a big God. What did I say earlier? He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. So let us not fall into that. To that darkness. Remember, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Okay? So we have to talk to ourselves. We have to tell ourselves what God has already said about us. Now, that might sound like fairyland, but it's not. This is the word of God, okay? This is his word, okay? Like I said, we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual world, are governed by spiritual laws, and with this inheritance comes an obligation to administer and use it wisely. So our responsibility, and I hope this is making sense, our responsibility is to think right and to think right and to speak right and to right action and reaction, okay? That's our responsibility. Regardless of what's happening around us, we must think right because our thinking causes feelings. So when we're feeling bad, remember, those bad feelings are because of the way we're thinking. So let us think good thoughts. Think about the time when things were good. Think about the time that you want things to be good, okay? So this is what I want to say. Hold on. Let's assume the same feeling we would have if our requests were already fulfilled. In other words, when we pray, when Jesus, before he left the disciples, he said, whatever you ask my Father in my name, believe it shall be given to you. So we have to really believe that. We have to believe in the word of God, okay? And times get hard. We've all gone through stuff, and that's okay because it makes... When we go through stuff, it should make us better, not bitter, okay? We come out better, not bitter, stronger, not weaker, okay? Realize that your body is the temple of the living God.
Yes, Lord. Look like you kind of got frozen there a little bit on us, Minister Rosemary.
And ask God in the name of Jesus to fill you with his joy, with his wisdom, with his love. Okay? You can do that. That's the way it works. It's automatic. That's the way it works. Let's not get all cooked on in the circumstances and the situation of this world. That's the world. That's the adversity out.
I think the challenge is when people are actually going through the difficulty because then you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
So that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. You want to raise where people are actually going through difficulty because then you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Align your thoughts with the word of God.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We got to take one last break, and we'll be right back.
So let's not get into that place.
Yeah, we got to take one last break, and we'll
yes,
be right back.
One more
back.
Last break. You're breaking up, and so we'll get back to it. Yeah, thank you so much for those comments for her as well. This has really been good. So, we got to work with our sponsors. This is our last round.
Right back after this last break, so stay
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
And there were so many things that the whole world, I had my world. Just think about it. I had my world. And yet there's a bigger world. But we, at least for Joy, I only really knew of my world. And I would hear about what's happening out there. And when you start talking about things across the waters, that's up over there with those people and those situations. But last night, I realized that whatever's happening over, however close or far away, is now coming up on us here in our country. And we have a multitude of conversations going on that's not just reflective of what's happening in our neighborhood, but it is affecting our neighborhood. And I know Rosemary said, well, we don't want to go trying to save others. We've got to keep ourselves together. And that is so true to a degree. But we must work on ourselves in the knowledge of knowing as we work on ourselves, we do impact on others. And we work on ourselves for the sake of others, sake of our family. And as Janine was speaking, Minister Reverend Janine was saying, you know, how many of us really know the multitude? Oh, I know what it is. The quote says, money answers all things. Because you say, hey, I budget my money, I pay for my mortgage, I pay for the car, I pay the bills, and I have fun. And I pay myself first. How about that? You're the first temple. You're the first temple. So, we're living in a big world, but don't forget your world. And don't forget the voice that is in you, continuously feeding you, giving you ideas, giving you, as the folks say, where there's a will, there is a way. God will never leave you nor forsake you. How the master comes to you can be different from person to person. And being able to hear and be patient with one another, to have a powerful conversation, to engage in a conversation, to intercourse. You know, one of the things I was telling my kids, I was in the kitchen, I said, we've got to really learn how to have proper intercourse. And my kitchen just went all up in flames. Well, Mama, why you want to talk about intercourse? This is not the place. We're here having Thanksgiving. Mama, what are you doing this today with this? Oh, Mama, you just getting beside yourself. I said, well, when I said intercourse,
such as conversation, you know, interaction,
you.
Discourse. You know?
That's the very first definition for intercourse. The very first definition for intercourse is conversation.
A lot of people
but
don't
like
know
I
that.
Said initially, we've taken God, we put it in God in a little box. We've taken religion and we put it in a little box. Everything is restricted and constrained. It's time to do what we can to release the spirit of and dialogue of conversation, love in our conversation, ideas in our conversation. This is part of the liberation. When you're able to have conversations, you are not only setting yourself, you're setting the spirit of God free. You're setting the spirit free because you got them all in these little boxes. And it doesn't serve you in a mighty way, so therefore it can't come through you to serve others in a mighty way. So we're constantly looking outside of ourselves, letting that dictate to us what needs to be done, but not understanding that it is a reflection of what is within.
Yes.
And where the work is to be done.
Yes. You know,
so the power of the conversation begins with, what is your relationship with your higher power in you?
Yes.
And what is the I am that you're stating to you? Constantly. I'm constantly on the wall now checking what I say about
me, you know. And as I go out in my little Uber, I make my little car like a little minister thing. I just leave so excited. And people talk to me, and I'm telling you, we are in such an awesome position being here in America, because we don't realize that our culture, our ancestors have endowed us with such a depth of power until people can feel that power. When I saw a whole penitentiary go dressed up in orange and did the Michael Jackson, I said, wait a minute. That's God in motion, huh? when you see, it's not about people stealing what's yours. Let's have a conversation. Whatever we're doing, whatever we have, God gave that to us. And didn't God give it us to keep?
Creativity.
So rather than holding on and saying what people stole, say, oh, no, we taught you well.
Yes.
Take the higher ground conversation as you're doing what you're doing because we are here. We are. We are that I am, that you are, and moving you to do what you're doing. Because if we had not been the first models, you would not be doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So they steal nothing. We're instruments of the Almighty.
Yes,
hello.
Yes, yes, we are. You know what's interesting? And I listened to the sister say that when she got the call to preach, she dealt with a pastor that didn't believe women should speak. And I have seen that so much, and it's not just a Christian religion. I have seen that across, you know, various religious thought, that the idea that women have nothing to say, or that God doesn't speak to women, or that God doesn't speak through women. And if there's one thing we need to undo in this next generation of women giving birth to children, is that wrong thought that God does not speak to us and through us. Because who is carrying God's spirit for 9 months to bring it to earth but us? So that thought, that has to be erased. Because, I mean, we got some powerful sisters out here. Like Mama Joy, she's doing her ministry as part of her work as a driver. But, you know, every soul that comes in that car is going to get a word, and they're going to be transformed. So we are doing this work everywhere we are. And that's why we got to undo that thought that we are not the vessels and the mouthpieces of the Most High, because we are. We are. And we can't let anybody circumvent our assignment here.
But you know, when I remember Minister Rose saying something, you know, the word of God, the word of God. But last night, a gentleman from Nigeria said to me, he said, "We've come. We are the living words of God.
We are
the living word." Because people look at the Bible. No, the Bible is not the living word. The Bible is a book.
We are the living word.
Now, you can put that book on that table, and I can guarantee you, if you leave it there, they'll disturb it there. If it's 100 years from now, 2,000 years, that book will still be there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it and take off on it, take it in you.
Bring it to life.
Apply it. You're the one that brings the life to it.
Mm.
And in fact, a gentleman 2 days ago, he says, "You know what? You're a living scripture."
Mm-hmm.
You should say, "You the Bible." You know, so you live it. When and the stories that we heard today are part of the new gospel.
Wow.
It's part of the new world. It's part of the new book that's coming in. So to be a guidance for those who come after it. Come on here.
I'm saying
we are the makers of this new world. We are here today for the what do you say? Let there be light. Who was God talking to? That was a conversation. He said, "Let us make man." Who was God talking to? God was not by himself. He was having a powerful conversation. Because when he said, "Let there be light," light say, "Here I am. Here I am." Let us make man, huh? Let us make that mind. Man, he wasn't talking.
talking about man, the flesh, but making that mind, that nation of the unseen, how the power. Okay, go on, Minister. I see you, Rosemary. What you got to say about that?
Not so much about that, but what I want to say is, yes, we are to give a helping hand to other people. But I want to say, rather than devoting our primary efforts to providing for the needy of the world, the time has come to make available to all men everywhere a teaching that will enable them to provide for themselves by learning to release the divine potential within themselves.
Yes. Say that again. That's what we need. Come on, say it again. And get close so we can hear what you have to say.
I said, rather than devoting our primary efforts to providing for the needy of the world. I'm not saying, I didn't want to say, don't help them, feed them, okay, or something like that. Feed the hungry. And anyway, rather than devoting our primary efforts to providing for the needy of the world, the time has come to make available to all men everywhere a teaching that will enable them to provide for themselves by learning to release the divine potential within themselves. Teach a man how to fish, and he will have food forever.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's just like with your children.
So don't keep just issuing out something, because they'll be back in line tomorrow.
Right.
But teach them how to use their own mind.
That's right.
Which the mind of Christ is within each one of us.
Just like we were talking about with our children. If you don't prepare your children to take care of themselves, they're going to come back to your house because they won't know how to survive on their own. So our job is to empower them
to
become all they're supposed to be. Yeah.
How to survive on their own is to teach them how to think.
Yes.
Not what to think. Teach them how to think. Teach them to use the principles of God, okay? That's what we want to do. We want to teach them how to think. And once they learn how to think, once they learn the principles of God, once they align their will to the will of God, a lot of this stuff will be eradicated.
I got a question for both of you all. I have a question because I see a lot of times people get very dependent on, say, pastors in a church, you know, the religious leaders, you know, imams, you know, the people who, you know, kind of tell them, well, I have the direct line to God, so you come to me and I'll tell you what God said. But it creates kind of a dependency where people don't think that they can pray and heal somebody or heal themselves, or they can pray and get an answer, they can pray and get guidance. They think they got to go to a person who somehow is holier than them or closer to God than them or more well-versed in scripture than them, and they don't think to establish their own connection. What do you think about religious leaders that kind of encourage that sort of dependency? Because they're not
really
helping.
I think
really
they're wrong in doing that, because we, you know, when I pray with people, I say if they want called to prayer, I say I will pray with you.
Mm.
And I want you to know that you can pray for yourself. I am no greater than anybody else. Just because reverence before my name does not make me greater, because the living Christ, because Christ lives within each one of us. So recognize, realize, when I say realize, I mean make it real within yourself that the power is already within you. And preachers who do that, they want their congregants to depend on them, to come to them, so they can probably
equal money
or something.
Well, I'm going to ask that question to our elite. I've got two hands up here over here. Reverend Bessie, do you want to answer that question? I didn't see your hand up. Or did she leave?
I think this is another. Is this a new one? 312-576. Is that a new caller? I don't know if that's a new number.
56.
Yeah,
I
knew that's my number.
I don't see that one.
Yeah, 312-576. Yes,
that's okay.
That's a new call.
312-576, go right ahead. Okay, well, what I'm calling about, it's been really interesting, the conversation and whatnot, and we got to remember that we are all vessels. We're God's vessels. He said if we come to him, we're his vessels of honor and sanctification. And he has all of his hidden treasures. All of the treasures are in us. They're within us. But one of the main things that I wanted to really bring out, and what we see that's happening in the world today, is that, you know, you see a lot of anger in the world today. Well, this is the point. The people are so angry today because they have been deceived again, but deceived by the entire institutions and people that you thought you could trust with these COVID shots and all of that, and you find out that this was not the truth. You know, and, you know, we've had so many people to just to die and leave and all that. People have had all this going on. And people are angry, and they don't know how to direct that anger. And they're directing it on each other. And they're doing a lot of crazy things out here in the earth that we haven't, you know, we haven't done in such a high degree of what they're doing. And so I'm just thinking that we just, you know, just continue to pray for God to bless our planet Earth, to bless us, and we just pray and ask God to cry for mercy, justice, and revival for not just America, but for the whole kingdom Earth, because it's in a real wreck now. We don't see real leaders. We don't see anything. We just see a lot of hate going on here. And I just wanted to, you know, bring that because, you know, God, and then again, someone said, you know, God speaks to us through his creation. You just look out at the sky and the sun and the tree, that he speaks to those, for people to think that
Yes. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Jewel Simpson, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Hi, Jewel. Are you the Jewel? I think, because, you know, that's my name in Spanish, Joy. Hello, Jewel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you for bringing in nature. That's something that I noticed that very few times do I hear that reference. And we had a program on the 19th of November, and we had a Native American. And she had a prayer. She called it four directional prayers. And the prayers went for the winds to the north, east, south, and west. And that's something that many of us have lost connections, and that is God and nature. Hello? Our connection and nature speaks to us. How many of us have experienced feeling the fingers of God when the wind blows on our flesh? How many of us have experienced asking for something? The Lord sent me someplace, and I said, okay, now you had me under a tree, and then you call me out here to do such a thing. What am I supposed to be doing out here? And a leaf comes and just sits right on top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then I turn, and then shows me something. Why call me to this place? Because there's a meeting there. Now, we just had someone to come in, 5466. I tell you, we are having a conversation, and we are wrapping it. This is so wonderful. Thank you, Jewel. And that's the component that we're losing, our connection to nature.
Yes.
How many of us go to the waters and let the waters speak to us? It soothes. Come on now.
That's right.
I tell you.
That's right.
There is no spot
where God is not.
And God is not.
Absolutely.
Come on. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation. So any other comments that we have before we get closing out? Because we only have about four more minutes?
Yeah, about 4 minutes to go. Well, this has definitely been powerful. I think that a lot of people have some thoughts that
really great.
That says, no, you can overcome anything. I mean, I've heard some really overcoming stories today.
Even from a young age, and that is the scripture of the day. Mm-hmm. The stories we heard are the scriptures for today.
Yeah.
We're not putting the Bible down, but the Bible is the most potent, foundational blueprint ever, hands down, all over the planet. But now we're rising to a higher level, and we're part of the solution to the issues, the female solution, the feminine divinity that is coming up, where women are no longer being silent and no longer in competition with the men, but standing to complete the man and the woman relationship that God says, let us have some powerful conversations here.
Yeah.
All right. As men and women of God, let's have some real powerful intercourse, spiritual intercourse. Have some conversations.
Right.
Well, now, I know some of y'all may hang up on this one, where the penis and the vagina of God meet and say, let's come together and make new life. Let's come together and make this mind right.
Oh, I want to see Mama Joy get up in the pulpit and preach that one. That's
So I have a closing comment. Are we ready for closing?
No, yeah, we're about ready for that final remark. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So I want to say in today's fast-paced, unstable, constantly world, constantly changing world, it's moving to feel like, and moving so fast, it feels like it's spinning out of control and causing undue stress. But in the midst of life's chaos, there's one thing that never changes, and that is God's love for us and his covenant with us. His presence is that he will never leave us. His promise is he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Powerful conversation is a journey into unlimited possibility generated by our own thinking, our own feelings, words, and behavior. See, our behavior is governed by our thinking. So be mindful of your thoughts. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Any final conversations? I've got the mics open for any other comment that you can get 30 seconds in.
The essence of femininity
is released.
Yes.
And you know, Naima called the female solution, and she is the solution. She carries it in her womb.
Yes. We are carrying the future of the world in our womb.
In our womb, right.
Right.
I think we got another comment from... let's see. Oh, okay. Sharam says, I sure enjoyed the sisters' conversation. Trevor, host of Daily Show, said that he learned the most about from African American women because they suffer the most and have gained the most wisdom. Well, I certainly agree with Brother Trevor.
All right.
Assessment. Yes, we have gained wisdom from.
I encourage you to find him on YouTube. Because
yes.
he has ended his daily show.
Yes.
And so that last comment was for that. If you want to learn about America, go to the black women.
There we go.
He'll tell you.
Put on
if you really want to know about America, hello.
Come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke.
Poland, Jean Cunha, France, merci, Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, medasi, Nigeria, eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And lady love, you're going to hang in till the last drop, right?